Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
All right, we're going to talk about the conflict between the true believers and those who insist upon meriting their own salvation. This is an age-old conflict. It started with Cain and Abel. That's on record, where Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, had a religious conflict. And Cain rose up and killed his own brother. Cain was a predecessor to every religious self-righteous. What is a religious person? A religious person is a self-righteous person that's full of pride and is depending upon his own merits or something he thinks he can merit with God instead of trusting by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in the landmark book of Galatians, which every believer that can hear my voice should study afresh and be established in the liberty, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with any yoke of bondage. Now, Paul said in Galatians 3:3, having begun in the Spirit, are you so foolish, he says to these people that were saved at one point, but yet had fallen from grace, Galatians 5:4. He says, are you so foolish? Who has bewitched you? Who's put witchcraft on you? That you, having begun in the Spirit, are now made perfect by the flesh. He's saying to them that they once trusted in God, in Christ, by faith, but now they had gone into some other standard. It happened to be the law, which was obsolete after Christ died, for righteousness. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Also, Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's Romans 8:2 through 4. Now, Galatians 3:3, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? This is an extremely important, elemental, foundational doctrine of the New Testament, that we're justified through Christ by faith. Read the first 8 chapters of Romans until that gets in your spirit. Read the book of Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians. Every one of Paul's letters, he's dealing with the same evil spirit of religion. And he calls it several things in the 3rd chapter of the book of Philippians, which is where we're going to put our paddle in the water. We're going to start right there. Philippians chapter 3, if you'll open your Bible. Paul is telling us to beware of something. Let me tell you, if you think upon the Gospels and you think upon the book of Acts, and then you behold all that Paul says all the way through his writings in every single book without fail about the war and the conflict between these evil workers, he calls them, these wicked people that are religious and self-righteous. Their righteousness is based on their own works, their own touch not, taste not, what they do and what they do not do. You see, Paul cried out that he would not be found having his own righteousness. In Philippians chapter 3, actually right in this chapter that we're going to look at, he did not want to be, he was desperately afraid of being found having his own righteousness, because all of our unrighteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. There is no righteousness, no true righteousness, outside of being in Jesus Christ. The Father spoke from heaven on numerous occasions in the Gospels, the 4 Gospels, and said this, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So by faith, when we're in Christ, that could have happened 3 seconds ago. That could have happened whenever in the past. If you're currently in Christ, you are well pleasing to the Father. And all it takes to get right with God, no matter where you're at, is put all your faith in Christ. Turn totally to Jesus Christ. Call upon the Lord and you shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And by the way, that includes repentance, because you're turning all the way to God, away from yourself. So we're going to read beginning in verse 1 of the book of Philippians, chapter 3.
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe.
Okay, so we see right off the bat that Paul is getting ready to tell them something to keep them safe. You know, when you learn something from the Lord, it's important to spread that good news to help your brethren to be safe. If I've just got carjacked out in this parking lot out here, I'm going to call you if you're on your way here and say, brother, be careful, man. There's a guy in a red car going around with a baseball bat, you know, threatening people and making them give him his money, whatever. You know what I mean? What kind of friend would I be not to keep you safe in that matter, right? And the same is true, and most importantly, with spiritual matters. We have seen every one of us people that were once vibrantly in union with Jesus Christ and bearing the fruit of the Spirit, beginning with love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, who are now, they have, just like the Galatians, they're now trying to be made perfect in the flesh. And guess what? I can tell you without asking. They don't have love. They don't have joy. You might not be able to tell, but they don't have peace. How do I know they don't have peace? Because the Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You cannot be more wicked than be religious and self-righteous. Jesus said this, Matthew 21:31. He told the religionists of his day, the Pharisees, the ones he rebuked more than anyone. I don't even know if Jesus rebuked sinners hardly. I can't even hardly recall it. He came to save them. But the self-righteous, he lambasted on numerous occasions, on a constant basis. He told them, to those that trusted in their own righteousness, that the publicans, the rank sinners, and the harlots, that means every whoremonger, every drunkard, every extortioner, every murderer, every wicked, sinful person you can think of, the publicans and the harlots, the prostitutes, go into the kingdom of God before you. What does that mean? That means that you would be better off being the vilest wicked sinner on earth, as we count it that way, with living in outward sin and some of the things I mentioned earlier, than you would be. You'd be better off doing that, doing something and everything wicked that you can think of, than to be a religionist who is righteous based on his own merit, built up on his own self-righteousness and pride. That's Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Now, we're going to pick up in verse 2 here. Paul's trying to keep the Philippians safe. The Holy Spirit is using this word tonight, today in our lives, to keep us safe. So let's listen up and may God give us ears to hear. Verse 2, Philippians 3.
Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision.
Now, what are dogs, evil workers, and the concision? Those are the people that are depending on their own works, what they wear, where they go and don't go, and all of these other things that they think in vain is meriting them their own salvation, even though once in a while they'll name the name of Christ. You know, that's one of the things I've noticed about them. There's a few things, personally, if I can throw these out there. First of all, they have no love. They're going to take you to task on things that are not even mentioned as sin in the Bible. What you eat, what you wear, you know, they're all about the outer cup, right? Matthew 23. They clean that outer cup, but Jesus said they're full of wickedness of every kind on the inside. I got rebuked, if you will, recently for going to a football game. That was a sin in this guy's eyes. Going to a football game. I even shared with him that I didn't even buy the ticket. A friend did. I didn't spend a penny at that stadium. And by the way, I told him that I'm probably going to go to more football games in the future, praise God. I said, you can't find that as a sin in the Bible. He insisted that was a sin. He said, there are cheerleaders there. You had to be lusting. I said, I don't think I even realized they were cheerleaders at that particular game. And just because you see a pretty woman doesn't mean you're lusting after her. In fact, you need to go out of the world to get away from pretty women. 1 Corinthians 5:10. That's what Paul said. If that isn't the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You know, what happens is these self-righteous religionists actually project the sin in their own heart onto others. Paul said it in Romans 2, 1 through 3, he gave us a phenomenon that you'll really want to become familiar with, not only in watching, stay right there, because we're going to go back to Philippians chapter 3, not only in the sanctification and the circumcision of your own heart, but also keeping an eye on others who are strong in judging sin in a way that God isn't even dealing with people on. That doesn't mean sin isn't violently unholy and offensive to God, but some of these people are harder on sin than God was. I've met them. That does not justify sin at all. You got to hear what I'm saying, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But Romans 2, beginning in verse 1, this is quite a passage here, this end of the last half of the first chapter, end of the second. But he says in verse 1 of Romans 2, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged, but with the same measure that you judge others, you're going to be judged. If we want to stop that boomerang of judgment from swinging back around and coming back on us, we better start rightly judging. Judge righteous judgment, Jesus said, John 7:24. You see, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, James 1:20. But it's the self-righteous who condemn and judge wrongly. They have no element or insight or enlightenment on the truth, the prevalent biblical truth, that Jesus came to make captives free. Jesus came to forgive and redeem and restore and bless. Jesus did not come into the world to destroy, but to save men, John 3:17. Some of these guys preach on the street. They've been doing so-called ministry for years. You know, they're like a rusty axe, rusty sword. They don't even have the revelation that Jesus came to save men. They're preaching everybody into hell out of hate with no hope. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, all you that are living in sin, come to me. And I'll do what? I'll condemn you? No. I'll give you rest, man. We're already condemned in our own sins. Jesus did not condemn the woman taken in adultery that was thrown before him. When all the self-righteous wanted to, Jesus said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. I don't know about you, but keeping my own self, keeping my own body under is a full-time job. Thank you. I don't need to try to manage somebody else's life. Now, if God moves on my spirit to rebuke somebody that's living in a soul-damning sin, that's different. But going to a football game or eating pork, wearing pants, or all this, none of that has anything to do with anybody's salvation. And I could go on with a long list of things. And I think I'll stop right there, lest I get myself in trouble. I guess I don't really care anyway. So therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, Romans 2:1-3, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Isn't that interesting? You see, I call it projection. My friend Marcus uses that term, and it's a good one. And I think that's what we see here. There's people that will accuse others of stuff because it's in their own heart, and they're projecting it upon others. Am I reading that right? See, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. There you are judging. You know, that's what happened when in John 8 when the Pharisees took that woman and threw her at Jesus' feet. That's probably what happened, is that he started writing their sins in the sand. I believe that's what most people think. It's probably pretty accurate, although we don't have that evidence of specifically what he was writing in the sand. But it seems apparent, according to the full counsel of God, that he might have wrote these words, for thou that judgest doest the same things. You're judging her, but you got sin in your own life. And by the way, I didn't come to judge, I came to save. And he demonstrated that in forgiving her. Go and sin no more. Now the legalist wants to, oh yeah, sin no more. You know, he wants to take that up and act like it's more authoritative than the rest of the passage. And by the time you get finished listening to him, you wonder if anybody could ever get forgiven after they've been saved if they sin. You know, as if there's no more mercy from God. They need to read the Psalms. They need to get in the Word. They need to read the full counsel of Scripture. His mercy endures forever to them that fear him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus was shed so that he could go to the right hand of the Father and sprinkle it on the mercy seat in heaven, so that you and I, after being saved, can come boldly, confidently before the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Why? If you sinned, you need mercy. And find grace, divine enablement, divine change in your heart, so that you can walk out and be sanctified and not keep falling into that sin. We are blessed to come boldly before the throne of what? The throne of what? What kind of throne? The throne of grace. Judgment, right? No, the throne of grace. To do what? We're blessed to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Paul said, how shall we escape, that is, the judgment of God, if we neglect so great salvation? This is the most magnificent thing that there ever could be, is the salvation that was wrought by the blood of Jesus, his body being offered, a sinless sacrifice for our sins. The one who was sinless was sacrificed for all of us that are sinners. See, we owe a debt we cannot pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And we're forever grateful, as the song says, to him. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 2, Romans chapter 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? See, those who are running around wrongly judging and wrongly condemning are not going to escape the judgment of God. Verse 4 says, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You see, people that wrongly judge, they're despising the riches of the goodness and forbearance or patience and long-suffering of God, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Verse 5, Romans 2. But after thy hardness, this is only coming out of a hard heart, people that wrongly and harshly judge. Listen, let me give you a tip. Somebody correct me if I'm not being biblical. In Galatians chapter 5, there is a list of 17 soul-damning sins. That's one of the list of sins. But it pretty much covers all the ground. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. And if you're going to correct somebody for a sin, make sure it's on that list, beloved. Get familiar with those sins. And first of all, make sure you're living in the Spirit. And by the power of the Holy Ghost and the grace of God, your flesh, and by your participating will, that you're crying, not my will, but thine be done, that you yourself are walking in the Spirit, and you don't have these things in your own life. Otherwise, God doesn't want to use you to try to correct somebody else. Because right just a few verses ahead of that, it says, You which are spiritual, restore others. Restore a brother or sister that's been overtaken in a fall. Don't judge them and condemn them. Restore them. That's God's will. He's not willing that any should perish. Now, those 17 sins don't need you and me to add to them. A basketball game is not on there. You're going to notice that Monopoly is not on there. Playing cards is not on there. Going to a sewing class is not on there. Going out to eat is not on there. Eating fish is not on there. Wearing pants, ladies, is not on there. So anyone who's trying to add to the Word of God is just like a modern-day Pharisee. They're an evil-hearted, self-righteous, prideful, hell-bound, wicked person, according to the Lord. I would rather be doing any and every other vile sin and all of them, known to man, according to my Lord Jesus' words, than living in a self-righteous religious state. You are going to the deepest, darkest, most filthy, tormenting hell if that's your state. It's time to repent. Matthew 21:31, the harlots and the publicans will be saved before those people will. So, fourth verse, Romans 2, he says that the people that are self-righteous and wrongly judge others. By the way, God is the only one that's holy, 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 not us. So if you're without sin, you cast the first stone. And by the way, God sees all, and he knows every thought and intent and motive of your heart and everything you've ever meditated on in the last 24 hours or week or month or whenever. He didn't miss any of it. And you know that you need his saving grace today, if you're going to be honest. He knows all your sins. Verse 5, Romans 2. But after that thy hardness, after thy hardness and impenitent, unrepentant heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the judgment of God. God is going to reveal himself in judgment, and he is going to have his wrath upon those that do these things. In fact, that wrath is being treasured up. Every day, the evidence of your guilt is mounting up against you if you're living in a self-righteous state. You're an antichrist. You're denying Christ, the only righteousness that God sent for us. And you put yourself in the place of Jesus Christ. You're trying to be your own Savior. You've got another God before you. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. God sees it all. Verse 7, Romans 2, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Eternal life is going to be to those who endure to the end in patience, continuance, in well-doing, trusting God by faith. They're going to have glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, these are the sons of Cain, the wicked, self-righteous Cain, who killed his brother. Cain offered a sacrifice of his own liking and thumbed his nose at the Lord's instruction to offer a blood sacrifice by faith.
1 John says in chapter 3, 11 says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous.
You know, there's a lot of people slaying the righteous with their words, and God is going to have his judgment on them. And I don't think it's all going to be in eternity. I think some of it's going to be now. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, says the book of Psalms. So verse 8, Romans 2, as we finish here. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth that were justified by faith, without the works of the law, without any works other than the work of Christ, you cannot merit your own salvation. You cannot continue in the Lord outside of the grace of God and trusting him by faith. You see, having begun in the Spirit, being born again by the Spirit of God, some are now thinking that they're going to be perfected by the flesh, by keeping certain Jewish feasts or following certain standards that aren't New Testament Christian standards at all. You see, we're to walk in the Spirit, and when we do, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We're to be led of the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Some people preach sin so hard, and they leave out the message of the power of the Holy Ghost to subdue self so that you can overcome. Let me recite Romans 8, 13, and 14. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. And a lot of people stop there and put an axe to everybody and beat them over the head. Listen. Continue in the full counsel of God. Read the whole passage. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. See, it's through the Holy Spirit's enabling. And how does that happen? When you surrender and stay surrendered before God, crying out every day, Father, you must increase, Lord. I must decrease. Into your hands I commend my spirit. I love you, Jesus. Get back in faith, man. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in relationship with God by faith. It is impossible without faith, without faith, without faith. It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Don't seek yourself. Don't seek your own standards. Don't make up your own rules. Don't buy into any other numbskull's rules. But buy the truth and sell it not, the scripture says in Proverbs 23:23. Love the Lord. Honor his word. Trust him by faith. The scripture says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, not yourself. With all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Tribulation. Let me finish verse 8 and 9, and then we're going to move on. But unto them, Romans 2, 8 and 9, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath is coming upon them. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Now we're going to pop back over here in Philippians 3 where we started. We read in the first verse that Paul is trying to keep the Philippians safe. This is written, it's on record, it's right here in our Bibles, because God wanted us to be kept safe. And verse 2, Anson read, beware of dogs, evil workers. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Those that try to bring you up under some other kind of standard, other than the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that makes us free from the law of sin and death. It redeems us. Christ does. He's made us new creatures. He's sprinkled clean water upon us. He's regenerated us, made us ready, because new wine must be put into new bottles. God made us a new bottle when we were born again. And now he fills that bottle up with the new wine of his Spirit. And then we're led by the Spirit of God as we walk with Jesus. We abide in Christ. What's verse 3 say, brother?
For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
One of the things you'll notice is that those legalists, self-righteous people who trust in their own works, they do not walk in the Spirit. They do not have the power of the Holy Ghost, just like the Pharisees of Christ's day. They don't have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Hello. They have no joy. You're not going to see them having joy, because the fruit of joy is not produced in somebody that's not abiding in Christ. When you're abiding in Christ, all your righteousnesses are of him, not you. You have none of your own. So those that are truly born again and currently right with God, abiding in Christ, we are the circumcision. God did a circumcision in our hearts by his own hands, and which worship God in the Spirit. Do you worship God in the Spirit? Jesus said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. If you're going to walk with God who is a spirit, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it says, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We don't rejoice in self. We don't rejoice in self. There's nothing good of self. Romans 7:18, Paul said, nothing, there's no good thing in me except Christ. And have no confidence in the flesh. None. That's the circumcision. They worship God in the Spirit, the true remnant of God. Worships God in the Spirit, rejoices in Christ alone, does not boast of self, and has no confidence in the flesh. Three things that the circumcision, the true children of God are. The true wheat, as opposed to the tares, are who? Those who worship God in the Spirit, they rejoice in Christ Jesus, and they have no confidence in the flesh. Here's a little note I wrote at one point. The circumcision, the dominion of sin and evil, has been cut away from our hearts through the new birth, through the circumcising work of the Lord himself. Now, in verse 4, what does it say? Philippians 3. It says, though I might have also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. What's verse 5 say?
Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
You got to lose all that other stuff. All of our religion, all of those things that we think are meriting us points with God or acceptance with God in any way, those things have to be lost.
Philippians 1:11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ.
That's good, brother. Righteousness only comes by Jesus Christ, huh?
Galatians 3:18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And brethren, Abraham is the father of our faith. He's the father of faith. And then verse 21 in Galatians 3, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But it goes on to say in the same chapter in verse 12, and the law is not of faith. And faith, Christ's righteousness is imputed to us by having putting our faith and believing in him. And it goes on to say in Ephesians 1, verse 13, in whom you also trusted. Who do we trust? The previous verse, in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the promise that was given to us after believing, that having the faith of Abraham in Christ Jesus.
Brother, in that third chapter of Galatians, that magnificent chapter, you can keep reading that. As you stopped in verse 21, verse 22, brother, we are going to get back into Philippians 3 in just a minute. But as you can see, this is an incredibly prevalent message throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament scriptures, and we have got to get this in our spirit in order to keep us safe, that you're not saved by your own merit. God didn't save you by his Spirit when you trusted him initially by faith, and then somewhere along the line he says, all right, you're on your own, man. You got to paddle the rest of the way there. Are you kidding me? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Who has bewitched you? You're under a spirit of witchcraft from false teachers that he just destroys here. Calls them a bunch of dogs. You know how vile that is? Dogs, evil workers. What are they? They're evil. They're filthy. There's no worse sinner in the world than a religious, self-righteous Judaizer who's trying to bring God's children with his witchcraft, trying to bring God's children under some other law than the law of faith.
I want to say this. Jesus, rebuking the Pharisaical Judaizers of his day in Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you, they accept your righteousness, shall see the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, your righteousness is not your own. Your righteousness is your faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is not faith in Christ Jesus. It's their own self-righteousness that they're trying to work out by their own merit to earn their salvation. Go back to Galatians 3, beginning verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster.
Hello. Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of striving in your own good works. We trust him by faith and we're justified thereby. So the law was a mere schoolmaster, elementary, inferior, and it brought us to Christ, convicting us of our sins.
What does the next verse say? Verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith
by
in
what?
Christ Jesus.
By faith.
Didn't say by the law.
By faith.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, which is by faith, and heirs according to the promise.
In verse 5, a few verses down, Galatians 4:4-5.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Oh, keep going.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Daddy.
Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Keep going, brother.
Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain.
See, Paul sees that they have fallen away, because now they're trusting in self, now they're trusting in observing days, months, times, and years. Those were a mere shadow of what he became the substance and fulfillment of, if you read the book of Hebrews.
5:4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace.
Fallen from grace. You're no longer saved. You're not trusting God by faith through Christ, but you're now believing that you can merit or keep your salvation by some work of yourself. That's an abomination to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Let's go back to our main text in Philippians 3. Let's keep reading on how the Lord wants to keep his people safe. Let's just pick back up verse 7 and read from there.
But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Heard a sermon recently on this passage, and just knowing that Paul concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Like he was blameless concerning the law. He was like perfect according to the law. He did all things right in his flesh. But he was like a scholar of scholars. I mean, he was reared under Gamaliel and taught under the law, under the theology of the law, and trying to practice it to a T, and did. But counted all of those things lost. That not even, I mean, as Christians, you can't say all the prayers you can, going to all the Bible studies you can, going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays only, or even going to church every day, does not make you right standing with God. But just putting your faith in Christ Jesus, that those things, that the works that Paul was doing in the flesh, he kind of all those things, the outer outwardness of the cup, knowing that God does not look on the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. He kind of all those things that Paul's was saying here in verses 5, 6, and 6, that he was their outward appearance, that he kind of all those but a loss. And he goes, yeah, doubtless in verse 8.
Yeah. And we have to lose every religious trace in our lives. You know, Paul addresses national pride, racial pride, and religious pride here. And he says he had to trash all this stuff and count it but dung. And I'll let you figure out if you don't know already what dung really is. But verse 8.
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
Notice, you can't have both. You can't have trust in self or any other standard other than the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that's by faith. Romans 8, 1 through 4.
Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
And be found in him. He wanted to be found in him. Beloved, are we going to be found in Christ? In Christ, in whom the Father is pleased, not having our own righteousness?
Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensemble or example.
An example. And that means he's saying, follow us as examples, not Judaizers, because that's what he started off the chapter with, trying to keep them safe from those who would move them away from trusting God by faith and walking in the Spirit under some other standard, any other standard. That's all it takes, is some other standard to derail you and make you shipwrecked and on your way to hell, having begun in the Spirit and then trying to be made perfect by the flesh, of many different flavors out there. So he says, mark them also as ye have us for an example. An example of what? Those that do not want to be found. First of all, those who have counted all their religiosity but dung, a pile of horse manure, so they could know Christ, to trust only in him, to not be found having their own righteousness, that I may know him, those who desire to know him. Verse 13, those that forget those things which are behind, follow Christ with all their heart, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Think of that verse in verse 13, forgetting those things are behind. Jesus says, I don't know what, it's one of the Gospels, he says, a man that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven.
Luke 9:62. All right, verse 18. What's that say, guys?
For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven.
Our citizenship is in heaven.
From whence also we look for this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Well, we want to encourage you to continue in this study. There is so much in the New Testament scriptures concerning it. It's a rich, full, beautiful subject, and God wants his people to be saved, established fully by the grace of God, their hearts established in the grace of God, by the grace of God, and not with meats which do not profit those that are occupied therein. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Now, this conflict that we've been talking about is something that's motivated by the sinful hearts of men and also Satan. Satan and self-righteous, prideful, sinful men hate dependence upon God by faith, because it steals the glory from themselves. They want to be their own God. They want the glory themselves, that they're somehow good enough and better than everybody else because they're doing this or not doing that or whatever, instead of trusting God by faith and admitting that you are a vile, corrupt, utterly depraved, sinfully wicked individual that is totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ for all your right, all righteousness, because you don't have any outside of him. See, these people want to feel like they are earning their own way with God, which would mean Christ died in vain. Galatians 2:21. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who is it that can say, I made myself clean? That's ridiculous. Galatians 2:21. If righteousness come by the law or by any other standard, then Christ is dead in vain. See, righteousness only comes by Christ, the person. And you can only get to know him by faith and walk in the Spirit after he saves you if you're not saved already. See, this reveals a gross lack of knowledge of the inherent depravity of all men to think that we can be justified by any other means but Christ. These self-righteous and deceived individuals that Paul warns us about in Philippians 3 and all over the New Testament, they want to glory in self and not in the Savior, Galatians speaks of. The truly saved people do nothing to rob glory from Jesus Christ, but rather give it all to him to whom alone it is due, as they see themselves as the ungodly in Romans 4 and 5.
Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, and you shall be saved. Believing in the mouth is, confessing with the mouth is unto salvation. Believing in the heart is unto righteousness.
And for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yes. Even just believing that he was raised from the dead. If you're trying to work out your own salvation by your own merit, and you have not faith in the Lord Jesus, that he was even raised from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. If you believe not he was raised, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I mean, basically, Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain.
Praise God. You know, for the righteous declare with Paul, quote, God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Galatians 6:14. But in contrast, in like the Judaizers in Galatia, modern Pharisees who have invented many ways to rob the glory from Jesus, espouse and teach self-promoting doctrines which divert the glory of God, the glory away from the nail-scarred risen Savior. He's the only one that the glory is due to. And he did not die in vain. In order to be right with God, you've got to be in Christ. And you've got to humble yourself by faith and just fall into his mercy. Because you need his mercy. So do I. More than we could ever imagine. See, they have fallen from grace. Some of them were never saved. But those who began in the Spirit by being born again, and then somewhere along the line, naive and gullible and unbiblical and ungrounded and unsound in the Scriptures enough that they've been lured away from the hope of the gospel by false teachers and false doctrines. And some of these guys are the most rabid, hard, ugly, hateful individuals you're ever going to see. Because that kind of stuff, only the Holy Spirit can produce love, joy, peace, and the fruit of the Spirit. And they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're fallen from grace. They have fallen from grace like the Galatians who fell from grace for trusting self to overcome as they turned away from justification by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Let me tell you something. If you're listening to me and you've been living in sin and you've been living in the worst sin that there could ever be, and that's trusting in anything else other than Christ, you can repent and get back in faith right now. You can call on the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Please, I turn to you. Come into my life, Jesus. Take over my life. Forgive my iniquity. I lay my life in your hands. Just pray. Cry out to God. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care if you were saved in the past. If you've gotten away from Christ and living by faith, you're not saved. You're not pleasing God outside of faith in Christ. I don't care if you've been living in the vilest sins you could ever imagine. In one instant, if you'll turn your heart back to God and put your trust in Christ, you will be restored and in Christ and completely justified by God. That's repentance. You're turning totally away from your own self and way to Christ. Jesus Christ is like no other. He's unique and incomparable in all of history. Not one person will ever be in heaven outside of total faith and worship of the divine person of the Lord Jesus Christ who came down from heaven to save us. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. And only he can do it. He is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is risen from the dead after being crucified, buried, and risen 3 days later. No one, he's coming back soon too, no one else has ever been begotten of the Father in the womb of a virgin, lived a sinless life, walked on water, opened blinded eyes, raised the dead, calmed the storms of the raging sea, showed us the Father's way, and died on a wooden cross that he predicted he would die on to bring us back. The whole world fallen into sin, into a relationship with our Maker, Creator, and Judge. He's the incomparable Christ. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus can forgive sins and transform lives. There is no other way to escape the flames of eternal damnation, justly due to each of us, because we've all violated God in a myriad of ways. And in the end, all who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the magnificent and only Savior, will be doomed to the lake of fire. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's who? The man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. Any person, philosophy, or religion claiming to have the power to grant salvation is an absolute fraud. The Son of God said that I am the way, not a way, the way, and the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no pope, no priest, no pastor, no one, no evangelist, no TV evangelist, whoever, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Anyone that wants to be right with God will call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ready or not, my friend, Jesus is coming.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.